Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Does it squeal or grind when you brake? Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
That today came out swinging in the face of the free fall of the city, declaring the currency is still strong, by wasting no time in tearing into currency speculators and blaming them, blaming it all on the payment of 49 billion cedis to contractors and the independent power producers. The city is today trading at over 15 cedis to the United States dollars and 19 cedis to the British pound sterling. But the finance minister remains bullish as he addressed the news conference today.
But for recent pressures we are seeing on the exchange rate movement, ladies and gentlemen, the exchange rate has been largely stabilized over some time, with the depreciation of the cedi against the US dollar halving from 54.2% at the end of November 2022 to 27.8% at the end of December 2023. The cedi's stability has continued into 2024, with a cumulative depreciation of 14.2%. as of May 20th, 2024, compared to 20.7% recorded in the same period in 2023. And therefore, people may see the cedi depreciating recently. If you compare the depreciation year to date, from January to date, the cedi has depreciated by about 14.2%. Same time last year, it depreciated by 20.7%. So on that, you know, comparative basis, we are safe to conclude that the cedi is still strong, very strong. The recent pressures on the cedi that I have referred to are largely as a result of the strengthening of the US dollar against major trading currencies across the world, including ours. Another reason is seasonal forex demand, including elevated demand from corporate institutions. Then also, we have paid contractors. I want to say that the complaints of no money and no money and no money, we don't hear that anymore, because we have paid and paid contractors. As of now, year to date, I think we've spent some 49 billion Ghana cedis. Same time last year, we did 41 billion Ghana cedis. And so this demonstrates that a lot of liquidity, cedi liquidity, is in the market. And we have seen some people looking for US dollars to buy with the cedis that we have put out there. And so these are some of the reasons, including the payments to IPPs. You'll recall that we started negotiating with them, as a result of which we had to make a bullet payment, one-off payment, amounting to some 400 million United States dollars. And so they all put pressure on the cedi. But also, what is known to all of us, the common reason is speculation. So much speculation out there. And we need people to know that this speculation is not helping us. It's not helping the economy.
Well, the finance minister further says the government is not idling. He revealed that government is implementing measures to halt the depreciation of the cedi.
The Ministry of Finance will continue to work with the Bank of Ghana to implement measures to address the rapid depreciation of the cedi. And some of the measures that we have already put in place, and I was told this morning that we are already seeing the results of the effect of these policies and measures we have put in place. So we are fast-tracking the fiscal consolidation process through rationalizing spending and enhancing revenue mobilization, intensification of the gold for oil program, and appropriate FX interventions by the Bank of Ghana. We are also intensifying, through the Bank of Ghana, the gold for the reserve program. The disbursement of the third tranche under the IMF program, which we are expecting in June, is also going to support the building of foreign exchange reserves, and also disbursement from other ongoing projects, including the $150 million World Bank facility, which Parliament approved last week, Friday, will all come in to support the reserves. We're also expecting the disbursement of $300 million under the World Bank Development Policy Operation 2, possibly in the third quarter of this year, and disbursement of $200 million to Ghana Exim Bank and Ghana Commercial Bank, GCB, by EBIT, ECOWAS Bank for Investment and Development, later in the year. And, of course, again, what is known to us, the expected 2024-2025 cocoa syndication proceeds in the fourth quarter of this year. They will all crystallize and come together to support the buildup of the reserves, strengthen the CD, as well as support the budget in the implementation. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in all, we're expecting total disbursements of $2.32 billion before the end of the year, to add to the significant foreign exchange reserves already built up by the Bank of Ghana. And on this basis, I wish to assure the Ghanaian people that there is enough foreign exchange supply in the market. Hence, there is no need to rush to buy Forex. There is enough foreign exchange on the market, and we'll continue to ensure that the supply is sustained, if not even increased.
So that's Ghana's finance minister there, Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam. But when he was speaking, he made mention of the fact that there's been some payment of 49 billion cedi to contractors, as well as the payment to IPPs. Let's speak to the chief executive of the Ghana Chamber of Construction Industry, Emmanuel Cherry. Mr. Cherry, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Now, you had the minister there. We want to find out, when was this 49 billion cedi payment made from government to you?
Thank you very much, my good brother, and then good evening to your cherished listeners and viewers across the entire country. We must thank the minister for coming out to such an expose, because if you should talk about construction industry, we have different aspects of construction. So, you know, construction has different legs or segments. We have the hydro, the energy sector construction that goes with whatsoever is associated projects and products. That's engineering aspect, the architectural aspect, the surveying aspect, before the physical aspect of construction. All those things lump together. Then it comes to the road sector, also same. Then it goes to the building sector. So notably, within our sector, the most prominent one that normally surfaces is the building, and then that of the road. So in the road and the building sector, if we should lump together the amount the minister has mentioned now, I don't know where exactly is getting the figures from. So it's something that has at least hit us as a shock and a surprise. But as industry players, we are also bent on doing our further search into the book set to find out what exactly is the minister driving to. Because if it's about roads and then that of building, it's very outrageous for us to say that the minister of finance will come out and dangle these figures into the public space. He might have a basis to it,
but how much how much have you been given this year in terms of payment?
Yeah, for this year, in total, the amount the minister is quoting is nowhere near. Because if minister claims that such an amount of money has been paid to the contractors, then why is contractors not on site? Why have they moved from site? Why are they not working? That is the question we need to ask ourselves. Because as we speak today, road sector, the road fund, government is owing contractors almost 6 billion Ghana cedis as we speak today. That's road fund, almost 6 billion as we speak today. the GOD, 5.something billion. Cocoa Board has paid some 1 billion last month, this month, and we are hoping that will continue. So therefore, their portfolio also reduced a little bit. We are looking at barely 3.4 billion Ghana cedis in total. So in fact, the debt portfolio you and I know that we'll be talking about is not up to that magnitude. So which means there is another leg of construction work that the minister is trying to stick to that we don't know. But as Bill said, we need to interrogate the books properly and then come out with the accurate figures accordingly, because this is very outrageous to us.
Okay. I'm grateful to you, Mr. Emmanuel Cherry, for clarifying this particular matter that you've not received any 49 billion cedis. But you're also not able to tell us how much exactly government has paid you, I mean, this year.
Hello?
Mr. Cherry?
Yes, sir.
So I wanted to find out from you how much the government, if it's not 49 billion, how much exactly has your members or have your members been paid?
With Cocoa Board. Cocoa Board has made 1 billion payments. Road funds, the amount in question, as we speak today, is less than 2 billion. What do you call it? GOG. With GOG, government has done a significant amount of payments in there as well. So for that one, possibly we are looking up to approximately 4 billion thereabouts. If it comes to what do you call it, a GET fund. GET fund this year, I've not seen government making any payment as we speak, unless they have made some payment that without us knowing. But with the GET fund, the portfolio was approximately 600 million. So therefore, putting that together is nowhere near the quotations that the minister is giving us. But however, it's early this year, as you said, I'll be so much glad that we can continue this discussion possibly a day or possibly early next week so that okay. We can give you accurate figures accordingly.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Cherry. Let me bring in Courage Boti, who is a currency analyst. Courage, I'm grateful for joining. You heard the minister there enumerate some of the reasons for the current performance of the city, which includes speculation. Now, do you agree that these ones, what are the real factors leading to the depreciation of the city, which we normally do see in this country?
Well, good evening, and thanks for the opportunity. The minister sits behind numbers, get briefings from the Bank of Ghana, and so I have no reason to doubt what he's saying. Add that to the fact that there is nothing he said that is exactly news to the market in terms of the causes for depreciation of the city at this moment in time. Speculation is a big driver, no doubt. People don't just speculate. They speculate based on the signals they pick, right? We are in an election year. If you remember, on one breath, the minister is happy talking about fiscal consolidation and how that will play a role in currency stability and sustain disinflation. But on the other hand, he's saying that we are running a primary deficit of 0.6% of GDP at the end of first quarter, as opposed to 0.2% of GDP, and the fact that they are spending to take care of the poorer groups in society and all that. Essentially to say the expenditure is ahead of target. And that is exactly the concern of people. Our history in election years have been one of a checkered one where you see over expenditures leading to severe distortions in years after, and you have to spend time to correct.
But if
the general expectation is that we will keep things tight. And people's fears are crystallizing from even what he has said.
Well, Courage, but if the minister or the government is making payment to contractors, for example, then you expect that there will be enough liquidity in the system to help everyone. But is that what we see?
Well, the contractors are saying they've not received as much. So probably the evidence, depending on who is right, the evidence may be reflecting one side of the equation. I don't think it's a problem of liquidity. There is liquidity in the system. It is the fact that prices are high and people are unsettling, and you see where interest rates are, where people expect it to be. You see where dynamics are, and people just feel comfortable buying dollars and keep because it's just profitable, and that is what people are doing. So unlike previously where you could go to a bank and get maybe a fixed deposit, or you could go do some T-bill or some other mutual fund, all those sectors are affected through this DDP thing, and people want to take their own destiny into their hand. By the CRR directive that was given, what trend you are seeing is that the intention was to stimulate loan growth from the bank, but NPLs are high, the operating environment is chilling, and banks do not want to add to that high NPL and even impact their capital position.
That's why we see what we see. But how much do you think speculation plays a role in the downfall of the city?
Their money's to dollars and all of that. So the speculation is a top driver of what we are seeing, and there has to be an intervention to tackle those underlying issues. Yes, you can cite all the sources of money we expect in the coming month, totaling 2 billion plus. But if you don't tackle the whole thing, which is sentiment, which is driving the behavior, I mean, you will bring in the dollars, but they'll be demanded through this frivolous demand, and we will be where we are.
Okay, so we need to check the speculation. Grateful to you, Courage. Let me bring in Professor Lord Mensah, who's Associate Professor of Finance, into this discussion. Prof, I'm grateful to you for joining us. Now, you've heard the minister talk about how the CD depreciation has been tackled. How do you think these measures the government is putting in place can help reverse the trend?
You see, good evening to our listeners. I'm afraid to say that those measures are not measures that can change the direction of the city. I mean, in a sense that they are interventional, you know, measures. If you're expecting an IMF inflow, which will unlock, you know, World Bank money and other, you know, ancillary support, these are funds that will keep you afloat to have that fiscal space to put in permanent measures that will change the direction of the city. You see, the minister was talking about speculation, and it was like, I mean, he's giving up on speculation and he's warning Ghanaians, you know, to stop the speculation. But what breeds speculation? Speculation comes about as a result of consistent uncertainty. When the economy, you know, shows a sign of consistent uncertainty, individuals who are the economic agents put things on their own hands and then use their own discretion to determine which direction the currency will go based on the information they have. That is what we'll call speculation. Now, if you want speculation to reduce, then possibly you may have to take advantage of the fiscal space you're going to have from this IMF inflow and all the policies that you are laying now, including good for oil. These are all interventional policies. We need a permanent policy which will, you know, look at production. Production in the short term, production in the long term. That is what will reverse the direction of the city. But whatever measures, whichever way, whether you are going to allow multinationals to keep their money here, I mean, those things won't solve our city problem. We need to make sure that we reduce our import, get import substitution, and you take crops that you can grow in the short term toward the long term. Then you will know that, yes, indeed, your economy is producing to substitute what you're supposed to import. And as a result of that, you should be able to control your balance of payment. But for now, all those inflows are just interventions. They will come through the system, go to Bank of Ghana, be used as it's supposed to be, but the impact will not be felt. Well, then that is just to give you the fiscal space. And that's the essence of the IMF program. The IMF program is not to solve our economic problems. It's just to give us, you know, that kind of what, free space. And then out of this free space, we take advantage of it, put in measures to get production in the short term and the long term. Look, we started having these problems when we were priced out of the international market. Okay? Since we were priced out from the international market, our dollar inflows got reduced drastically. And then portfolio investors started taking their monies back to where they came from. And so that tells you that you cannot continue to rely on somebody's what inflow to grow your economy, to manage your exchange rate. You need your own production. And that is what this country needs.
But now that the finance minister says our primary surplus, for example, is doing better, our public debt to GDP is also doing better, mustn't that inspire the sort of confidence required in the economy to reverse the trend we see with the city?
Your public debt is doing better because you've suspended your, what we call it, international debt service, right? External debt service. You are still on negotiations. So whatever numbers we are recording now, especially the city depreciation, where he talks about 20% depreciation somewhere last first quarter of last year, and therefore this year is 14% depreciation. So it's a signal of stability. Don't forget that very soon we'll start, you know, paying our external debt. That is when we're going to see the full-scale demand of the dollar on our market. And that is where we'll find the actual level of the price of the dollar. So for now, whatever, you know, percentages he's using to determine stability, I can tell you that they are just, you know, temporary numbers. The actual numbers will kick in when we start servicing our external debt. And the speculators know, okay? And then also, those investors who are holding up the dollar also knows that at the point where you start servicing your debt, you will come on the market. Well, it's good. I mean, for a finance minister who is wearing, you know, political hat and at the same time technical hat, it's good to give that assurance.
Okay.
But the assurance must reflect in the numbers. If it does not, the speculation will continue.
But aren't we seeing that in the numbers?
No, we're not.
Okay. Stay with me. Let me bring in Ken Thompson. He's director at Dalex Finance. And Ken, thank you for joining. Now, you've said somewhere that, I mean, the solution to this whole challenge is that we should dollarize the Ghanaian economy. Listening to the minister, do you still stand by that proposal that we should adopt the dollar?
What I said was with respect to making sure that the Bank of Ghana doesn't finance the government under the guise that if they don't give the government money, it will collapse. But, you know, I'd like to say something about this these proposals that have come out.
Okay.
You know, they really are warm words and don't address the issues. And I think, from where I sit, it's more of a patch to get us past December than any long-term solution. Really, it's just under a patching. I mean, we're talking about fast-tracking revenue mobilization and expense specialization. I mean, we've been talking about this for years, and our record is poor. Gold for Oil program, I'm not too sure about that. We're talking about 360 million and 150 million. Do you know how much the oil sector alone demands in dollars from this, the energy sector demands in dollars from this country every month? $400 million. So what are we talking about? I mean, we are not addressing the issues, and the issues respect to confidence in an economy. We haven't come to any agreement with our creditors. Inflation is high. Interest rates are high, investor confidence is low, the infrastructure is weak, taxes are high, consumer confidence is low, and we're talking about fast-tracking revenue mobilization and rationalizing expenditure. I mean, come on. We are talking about 350 million and 150 million. Come on. Are we serious? I mean, these are warm words. They don't really address the issue. I mean, my issue with respect to dollarization was to say that let's put the Bank of Ghana in a position that does not give it an opportunity to finance the government, and which results in inflation and depreciation. I mean, a lot of this inflation and depreciation we're seeing now, some of it comes from the $50 billion that the Bank of Ghana pumped into the economy in 2022. That's my point. But what I've read so far, these are just warm words. I mean, and I think we're trying to, hobble along, patch, you know, the issue to get past 7 December, rather than any serious attempt to address the issues, the fundamental issues. They've not been touched at all.
But mustn't we start from somewhere? The economy, as we all know, is not in good shape. Mustn't we start from somewhere? Is the point where the finance minister has suggested not the appropriate way for us to start tackling the economy?
Okay, you've got to start from somewhere. You don't start with warm words. You start with things that you're actually doing and that people can relate to. That's where you start from. You don't start with warm words. I mean, you don't do that. And, you know, at this critical time, this is a time when really we should come out with things that people can relate to and see that address the issues. But these are just warm words. I mean, what do we expect that will achieve? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the same way I can see and read the economy and I can see how things are going, the same way everybody else can see it. How does this address any of those issues I've talked about? Inflation, high taxes, low investor confidence, low consumer confidence. You know, how are those issues addressed? That is what should be addressed. I'm not even going to talk about the issue of supply and demand of dollars, because I mean that's really everybody knows. That determines price. I mean, if you do a very basic analysis, you realize that we send out our exports, we have trade surpluses, but very little of the money that goes that we earn in dollars comes back to the country. That's not even addressed. So what's today, the 22nd May? May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Mm-hmm.
Today is 24th, but I mean, whilst government is trying to deal with the issues, it says that there are some inflows coming into the system that will stabilize the city. So, our primary surplus is coming up. Our debt to GDP is recovering. Yeah, aren't these the things that will give us or give the economy the sort of confidence that, you know, the players in the economy need to develop that confidence and start to keep the dollars here so that the economy can pick up?
Just so that maybe I said it in the wrong way. I just told you that our energy bill, the energy sector requires, just on a monthly basis, $400 million every month. Your debt to GDP ratio, really, you're not paying your debts now. So really, that's a number that really is neither here nor there. And I can guarantee that probably over 100% now. In any case, what it doesn't mean anything. Debt to GDP ratio never meant anything. The most important number is the percentage of your income that you're using to repay your debts. That's the most important number. You take countries like Japan, they're over 100%, but the income that they use to pay their debts, the percentage of their income, is less than 15%. I think Japan is even less than 10%. Take America, it's about 15, less than 15. Take Ghana, I think the average is around 45, 46. And it probably is higher. At the moment, it's around 25 because you're not paying. And the amount, but doesn't even include your principal repayment. You know, we need to start to speak to the reality so that now people can take informed decisions and then we know how then to go and get out of the situation.
I mean, one of the ways government intended to check this, importation, which of course really does a lot of harm to our economy, was through the 1D1F. But the implementation, we've all seen the sort of challenges that have characterized it. How then does government move on from here if we really want to tackle the basis of the issue, which everybody says it is just about ensuring that you don't take a lot of dollars away from your economy?
Who said that? That's not the issue. I mean, I'll give you another statistic. You know, over 70% of the containers, we have containers coming to this country. Over 70% of them go back empty. We export air. Once you start filling those containers, I can assure you, your currency will stabilize. So now you went back, and went back, and the things that we need to do to fill those containers, that is the issue. We export air. So fix those issues. And we talked about, 1D, 1F, 1 million, 1 constituency, PFJ, took loans. What are the cash flows to pay? If we had the cash flows to pay all those loans, by now we probably wouldn't be anywhere near where we are now. So let's, you know, everybody can see through it. Let's go down to basics. Start filling those containers. Then your currency will strengthen.
Very interesting, yeah. Professor Lodmeza, so, I mean, at this juncture where we are, what would you advise government to do to turn the tide for the city?
Well, the first thing the government to do, which is shown that it's incapable of doing, is take an axe to the cost. Cut your expenditure to the bone. You can't afford it, you can afford it. You're in a five-bedroom house with air conditioning. You've lost your job. And you still are boring to take your children to international schools. I mean, come on. It's that simple. Start, that's where it needs to start. Then we can think about the rest. Then we can think about filling those containers. But, you know, enough of the warm words. These are just warm words. It's a patch to get us past 7th December. And no real attempt to address the issues. That's all it is. That's what I see.
I feel a lot of, you know, you are done. As in, you don't trust that anything can change again, right? Am I right to have that feeling from you?
When you say anything can change, well, I believe that the issues are clear.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that at least for me personally, I'll talk about them until somebody hears. And a lot of people are listening. A lot of people hear. A lot of people know what the right thing is to do. And we've got to keep talking until the right thing is done. But we are not going to allow the wool to be pulled over our eyes. We're not going to allow that. We're adults. I mean, this is the dollar's been, all this has been going on for the last couple of months or so. And then...